Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we were just singing that, Lord, I pray that that is our prayer as well. Holy Spirit, just fall fresh on us this morning. Reveal something to us from your word, O God, that as we leave here today, there is something fresh inside us, something new inside us that allows us to grow deeper and closer with you. And Lord, I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So a couple of weeks as I've been preparing for this message, I was reading an interesting thing of history. How many of you have ever heard of circuit riders? Anybody familiar with that term? Yeah, circuit riders were ministers during the 1700s and 1800s who would travel from congregation to congregation to do services because there were more churches than there were ministers. And there's a story, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's really an intriguing story, and it really leads well into my message today, so you're going to hear it if you've heard it before. So there's a story of this circuit rider, and one afternoon he's riding to the next church, and he comes across this man working out in the field. And he wanted to start a conversation and invite the man to church. So, you know, as he's riding up to him, he calls out to him, and he says, "Hey, fine day, isn't it?" And the man replied, "It's fine for you. All you have to do is ride around on that horse just thinking about God all day while I have to sweat here in the field and then walk home afterwards. You have it so easy while I have it so hard." And the minister replied, "You're right. You do work hard, and I admire that. But you need to realize that the kind of work I do is different." "Yeah, sure," says the man. "But it's not really work. All you do is ride around thinking about God all the time." And the minister says, "It's harder than you think. I tell you what, just to prove it, just to prove how difficult this is, if you can think about God and nothing else for 1 minute, I'll give you my horse." And the guy says, "You can't be serious." But the minister said, "Yeah, no, I'm definitely serious." And the guy says, "You're on." And he immediately sits down in silence and starts thinking about God. And the minister pulls out his watch and he's timing him. And 10 seconds goes by and 20 seconds goes by. And about the 30-second mark, the man says, "Does that include the saddle?" All he had to do was think about God for 1 minute. And he couldn't even do that. 60 seconds. Today we're going to look at Psalm 46. So if you want to open your Bibles to it, we're going to read through the whole thing. And it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, through the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Today I want to focus on verse 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is pretty obvious, right? It sounds like God is asking us to be still, to know that he is God. But just like that farmer, so many people have a hard time with this. See, it's hard for us to be quiet. We struggle with silence. In fact, so many people will do anything to fill the emptiness because too much quiet is unsettling. A person steps into their car. In fact, I remember a comedian telling a joke about this. You know, you're driving around in your car, the music's playing and everything's good. You get out of the car, you go to your business, you get back in the car, and the music is this loud, right? Because we need to somehow have that space filled when we're driving. People walking around with cell phones in their hands, needing constantly to be entertained, reading Facebook or watching cat videos. There's music of all signs, of all kinds. Wherever we go to the mall, we go to stores and restaurants, at the grocery store, at Walmart, even in elevators with that special brand of elevator music. People seem to need to fill every waking moment with noise. They can't stand to be around silence. Although that's not always true. Have you ever noticed a young boy and a young girl out on a date and they can just sit there and look at each other and not say a word because they're comfortable being in each other's presence? Or a husband and wife who can sit there quietly, have a dinner, and you just sense a peace about them, this incredible relationship that they have. And they can be silent because they enjoy being with each other. Be still and know that I am God. See, the only way we can be silent around God is if we're comfortable in his presence. Or we need to learn to be comfortable in his presence. And the only way to truly be comfortable is to start practicing to be quiet in his presence. Now, many of us are parents. Most parents end up having their kids come and sit on their laps. Sometimes a child will come and sit there to chatter away. Sometimes a child will ask for things. Sometimes a child will just talk about something that intrigues them or bothers them. But every once in a while, a child will crawl up into their parents' laps and just sit there. They don't want anything. They don't even want to talk about anything. They just want to be with you, to sit with you, to be held by you. Do you remember how it felt to have a child do that? You'd do anything for that child. You might even give in to what they want. There's nothing like having the feeling of your child come and just want to be with you, even in silence. It's that action that says, I love you. I trust you. I feel safe with you. And there's nothing in the world that compares to that feeling. Now, when people pray, what do they usually do? They usually ask for something, right? And this is good. This is fine. James 4:2 tells us that we don't receive because we don't ask. And in Matthew 7:7, Jesus taught us, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there's nothing wrong with asking God for anything in prayer. But can you imagine what it must be like for God when one of his children just wants to come into his presence? Not ask anything of him. When a child of God comes to him and wants nothing than to sit silently in his presence. How do we do this? You know, as I've been preparing this message, I'm getting back to some things that I used to do and that have fallen away from me. And as I've been preparing for this message, I'm reflecting on a couple of things. First, the Bible talks about the different positions people would take in prayer. Some would lay prostrate on the ground. Some would kneel. In fact, Elijah bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. Others lift their hands up in praise. Every position we take helps the worshiper visualize something in prayer. Now, if you can imagine, and I realize this sounds silly, but what if in a quiet moment you just held your hand like you're holding God's hand? What if you just stood there or knelt there with your arms in praise, just silent, wanting to be in God's presence, not asking for anything, not saying anything, just either sitting there or standing there or lying there and visualize yourself alone with God. You know, there are some evenings I come here when there's no one around and I pray over the membership directory and over the building. But before I pray, and usually after I pray, I'll come in here into the sanctuary and I'll just sit in a pew and I'll just hold my hands and I'll just visualize myself in God's presence. Or I'll kneel before the communion table and do the same thing, just silently. And I'll do that until I feel like I've given God the proper attention. At home, when I wake up, I take a few moments and just lie in bed. I'll sit quietly in my office or in the middle of the night. God does this thing with me at 2:30 in the morning. Rob, it's time to get up. We need to talk, you know. And I go down to the kitchen and I find myself sometimes just kneeling on the floor in the living room or in the kitchen. Even at work, From time to time, I go to a quiet place and just tell God how much I trust him and love him and have a few quiet moments. See, it's not about how long or where we do this. It's about giving God a time of spiritual, intimate affection. When we do this, at least for me, I find myself closer to God, and my prayer times are focused more on giving thanks than they are on getting things from God. Now, there's a couple of problems while I'm doing this, and I'm the first to acknowledge them. I'll be standing there or whatever trying to think about God, and my mind will wander, my mind will stray. Anybody get that? Yeah? Some of us naturally do that, right? We're thinking about something, and our mind goes completely somewhere else. Begin thinking about something I forgot to do, and as I get older, that seems to be happening more and more. I'll remember an email that needs a response or a bill that needs to be paid, and before I know it, my mind isn't on God at all. And I've come to a technique that helps me with this. I go through the blessings in my life. I think about my wife and my children and my church family and my home. And I'll do this for a few minutes until my focus is back on God. Now, there's another problem that can happen. There are times that I don't feel like I'm worthy to be in God's presence. I've screwed up. I've done something that I feel like I've fallen short of what God had for me. And when I feel that way, I need to remember that I don't have to deserve to come close to God. I do it because I need to be close to God. And when I hold on to that truth, I'm more confident about spending time with him, because to be still and to wait for him is something that we need to do. In fact, there's a number of scriptures that reinforce it. Psalms 4:4 says, "When you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent." When you get up in the morning, stay an extra 5 minutes and just be silent. Set your alarm 5 minutes, 10 minutes earlier than when you need to get up, and just be still and be in God's presence. Just don't go back to sleep, you know? Just pray about that. Don't go back to sleep. Psalms 27:14 declares, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." Psalm 62:2 and 5 says, "Truly God is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him." And one of my favorites comes from Isaiah 40:31. And most of you may even know this. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint." We need to be still. We need to be quiet. We need to wait for God. And people have problems with this. It's inherent to us. Sometimes when it's too quiet, it feels empty or it feels wrong, like there's nothing going on. It can feel like God's not even there and not doing anything. But the truth is, when you think nothing is happening, God is doing something. He is not sitting idly by. In fact, Psalms 37, 5-7 puts it, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. The justice of your cause will be the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Now, you know, we live in an instant gratification world, right? Waiting is become a bad thing. Waiting rooms for healthcare. Waiting for a service in a restaurant. Waiting for the microwave to count down your popcorn. Waiting for a reply to a text. Everything is so immediate. It's go, go, go. And when we get in such a rush, we work on our own timetable and we miss God's timing. You know, about 10 years ago, God was teaching me another lesson about obedience and patience. And you know, if you live in Fairhaven area, you drive through it and you pull up to that light at Clancy and Circle. For the longest time there, that I don't know whether that sensor was broken. Yeah, people are nodding, right? You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what it was with the sensor, but you would pull up and the light wouldn't change. And so you pull up a little bit closer, thinking, you know, and you're waiting and you're waiting. And a lot of people, what did they do? If the traffic was clear, they just ran that light, right? They just ran it. It was stupid to sit there. It's illogical to sit there. And God was convicting me of this. He's saying, "Rob, you're being rebellious." And I'm like, "Really? I think I'm just being logical here. This is kind of stupid." But God convinced me that my reactions to this what's wrong. Even though it's logical, even though it's expedient, God convicted me. And the next day, I made a pledge to him that I would do better. And the next day, God put that to the test. I got to tell you, he does that, right? So I came to the light, and I left with lots of time to get to work. I'm always one of those people, I like to be early, right, and not late. So I had time, and I pull up to the light, and I'm waiting. Like, okay, I'm going to pull up a little closer, maybe the sensor, you know, and I pull up a little bit closer, and I'm waiting. And I'm looking at the clock, and it's getting to that point where I could end up being a little late here. I'm getting a little concerned, and the temptation to just run that light. There's no traffic, none at all, and the temptation to just run that light is so strong. And I just hear God say, wait. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And I get to that point where I'm so frustrated and I'm saying, actually, I'm not saying, I'm yelling, change! Because I'm frustrated. And finally, God quiets me down. And I just gave it to him and I let it be. And I waited on him. And I watched the clock go another 14 minutes. And the light changed. And I went. And I wasn't going to be panicked. I actually wasn't speeding. And what I noticed is on my way to work, every light after that was green. And I got to work on time. Thank you, God. Now, there's been a lot of lessons in my life about waiting on the Lord. Some of them involve lost jobs. I had my own business for a long time, and at one point I lost all of my clients. Twyla and I came to a point where we gave away cars to families in need because they were in desperate need. It is so easy to do the easiest thing or the most logical thing, to just react and think that we can do so many things better on our own. When what we really need to do is be still, be quiet, and wait upon the Lord. And it's important to notice verse 10 here. God calls us to be still, but he's not asking us to do nothing, right? You remember what God said? He said, be still and know that I am God. When we read through this entire psalm, we read that God is our refuge and strength. But that doesn't mean that we're immune from the troubles and problems. The abundant life is not trouble-free. We need to be clear on this because there are false teachers out there who will claim that it is God's will for everybody who truly follows him that they will enjoy financial prosperity, perfect health, and a smooth life. But the Bible does not teach this. It teaches that God is our help in trouble, not that he's going to exempt us from it. This psalm specifically mentions catastrophic things. Global changes, severe earthquakes and storms and wars. The question is, when trouble strikes, do you want to face it with God as your refuge, as your strength? Or do you want to look elsewhere? Psalm 46 shows us that when trouble strikes, God is more sufficient to get you through it. In fact, the psalm falls into three sections. Verses 1 to 3, God, the refuge against the raging of nature. Verses 4 to 7, God, the resource against the raging of nations. And verses 8 to 11, God, the ruler over the rebellion of earth. Whatever personal catastrophe is taking place in your life, whether it's a major health problem, the death of a loved one, the loss of your job, emotional problems, relational conflicts, or whatever, God is bigger than these problems. He is readily available to help when you take refuge in him and trust in his strength. But the life-changing impact of God's supremacy in this world and his inevitable triumph over the nations, the coming of his glorious kingdom of righteousness and peace, the impact of this awesomeness doesn't hit us. It doesn't hold us and it doesn't shape us until we become still and quiet before God. God hits home in the stillness, and we can hear him in the quiet. I want you to notice the description of God as a fortress mentioned twice in verses 7 and 11. Throughout the Psalms, David refers to God as his fortress and his refuge and his strength. He faced incredible physical and spiritual battles throughout his life. And he saw firsthand how God provided a strong fortress regardless of what was attacking him. And in the ancient world, the fortress was a walled-off section of the city. It had its own supply of food and water and ammunition where people could be protected and the city could be defended. David knew that he did not need to fear because in God he found a fortress that any attack could not survive. Now, we all have fortresses that we run into when we face overwhelming circumstances. We may not think of them as fortresses, but they are. They can take shape in the form of people or relationships or pets. They can be material things in our lives that we think bring happiness and take our mind off our problems, perhaps video games or electronics or social media or drugs or alcohol. And like David, we need to realize that the one true fortress we have is the one true God. This fortress will always have provision. It will always have protection, and it will never let us down. If you desire God to be your refuge, your strength, and your fortress, you have to take some time. Stop running around. Turn off the electronics. Get alone and be still. Be quiet. And let the whisper of God give you never-ending joy and everlasting strength. Let's pray. Daddy, I'm just so grateful to you and for your word. And Lord, I thank you that your logic is not always our logic, Lord. That when we think we need to react, maybe what we really need to do is stop and be silent. God, I just pray that each one of us today would take this word to heart. I pray, Lord, that we would examine the busyness in our life, the things that we do, the reactions that we do, Lord, to help us soothe ourselves when we should be running to the fortress that is you. God, I pray that we would examine ourselves and see this as an opportunity to grow closer to you. Lord, I lift this up to you, and I pray that today, Lord, we would just be that much closer to you. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.